Let me encourage you through the next few days to saturate the meeting, upcoming meeting, in prayer, asking God to be with all of our guests and all of our church family, as well as asking God to bind back the forces of evil. You know, Satan wants to hinder everything that God is doing, and he'll try to hinder you. And as he did Paul, I'm always reminded of the scripture over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, where Paul said, you know, I wanted to come to you, but Satan hindered. And Satan does try to hinder us, doesn't he? And he'll try to hinder you, and he'll try to hinder me, and he'll try to hinder this meeting. But I'm glad for the verse of scripture in 1 John that says, greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. So you pray, and let's pray together and lift our voice to the Lord. I want to talk to you a little bit tonight. I'm just going to give you some truths that I pray would encourage you to stay mission-minded and stay focused on what God's focused on. Sometimes in life we lose our focus a little bit, and it's not just in spiritual things. We can lose our focus in family matters. We can lose our focus in financial matters and in social matters, and we just want to stay focused and we want to stay balanced. It sounds so easy, and yet it's a challenge, isn't it? It really is. It's a challenge to stay balanced and to stay focused on things that really matter in life, and to keep our priorities where they need to be, and that is as God would have them to be. And here in Acts chapter number 8, I think we have some truths that will help us. I'm going to read a few verses of scripture with you. If you'd stand to your feet for the reading of the Word of God, we're going to start in verse number 26, Acts chapter number 8, and we'll just read down through verse number 29. Acts chapter 8, verse 26, and we'll read down through verse number 29. Acts 8, verse 26. The scripture says, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south. And man, that's a good admonition there, amen? Unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Father, we thank you for the Word of God, and I pray in these moments that we have together now that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill each listener with the Spirit of God. Help us to be focused in this moment to get and gather what you have for us for tonight, that we would glean from your Word things that would help us in this walk of life that you've given us, that we would glean from your Word things that would help us for the matter of missions and the purpose of our life here in this life that you've given until you call us home. Speak to our hearts together, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. I read a statement by John Wesley this week that is powerful. John Wesley said this, if I had 300 men who feared nothing but God, hated nothing but sin, and would determine to know nothing among men but Jesus Christ and Him crucified, I would set the whole world on fire. Amen. Isn't that something? You know, those men and men in their time and before their time, they believed that they could reach a world for Jesus Christ. Now, they knew it was going to take more than just themselves, but they believed it could be done. I fear that we live in an age where people have taken the mindset that it can't be done. Well, with God, all things are possible. And we need to exercise our faith and know that what God has said is true, and what God has said He can make happen. And God wants to use you and I to carry out His purpose in this world. Another convert on the mission field was saved, and as the veteran missionary was returning home for furlough, he made this statement to him, and he brought back to the States. And the statement of that convert was this: "Send us men with hot hearts." Send us men with hot hearts, men with passion, men that'll tell us about this Jesus that you have told us about. Well, here in the book of Acts, as you study through the book of Acts, you find men with hot hearts, don't you? You find people that have a belief in their core of their being that it is God's purpose for them as believers to see that the whole world hears about this great news, and that is the news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus saves. Somehow, in some way, and I can't put my finger on it, I don't know that it's one particular thing, but somehow, some way, over the course of time in our churches, we've lost our vision, we've lost our burden, and we've gotten turned inward to where most of our praying is about us, and most of our care is about us, and most of our money is spent on us, and most of our time is spent about us and for us, and we've just forgotten that there's a big world out there that needs Jesus. And so I want to encourage you and even challenge you for the next few moments to maybe think along lines other than what you want or you need, or ask yourself and be honest. Have I prayed for somebody in a foreign country in the last week? Have I prayed for someone that is in a remote area of the world that's never heard the gospel? Do I think about those people? Do I really care about those people? And I'm not indicting you. I'm not saying that you don't. I'm just saying that I think it would do you and I and all, really, I believe it would do every Christian good to ask ourselves some very pertinent and pointed questions. Do I care about missions? Is it just something that I say I care about? Someone has said, if you really want to know what you care about, just kind of flip through your checkbook, and that'll let you know what your priorities are. And I'm inclined to believe that. If you really want to know who you care about, just kind of review your prayer life, and that'll kind of let you know who you care about. And I, again, am inclined to believe that. And so I'm not here to throw some kind of guilt trip, as people say, on you. I just want you to open up your heart, and I want to open up my heart. And let's be honest, you know. The only way we're going to get any help is just be honest. Do we really care that there's people in areas of our world that have never heard the name of Jesus Christ? They've never heard. Do we pray for God to send laborers into His fields? Do we pray for God to send people? Do we pray for God to help us to partner with them? Do we pray for the lost around the world? Do we pray for them? And if all we pray about is like that one prayer, God bless me and my wife, Joe and his wife, us four, no more, amen. Well, that ought not be our prayer. But you know, if we're not careful, something like that can become our model prayer. And all of our prayer is turned on God, help this, fix this for me, do this for me, give this to me, instead of realizing we need to expand the scope of our prayer. And I want to show you in the book of Acts how God taught those disciples to do that. God taught the early church. God taught these believers that were part of these first century Christians. He taught them what it was to get a worldwide vision of worldwide missions. In Acts chapter number 1, if you'll turn back there just for a moment, the Lord Jesus, just before His ascension, made this very familiar statement. He said, but, in verse number 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Now, here's, I think, something that's very important, and I'm going to get ahead of myself a little bit, but I just think it's so important. I think it's important that we understand that this thing called God's program, which is missions, is not going to be done without God's power. You know, if we're not careful, we'll try to do this on our own. You know, we're just kind of wired that way, aren't we? You know, we're just kind of wired up. Well, we can do this. You know, we can do church. We can do missions. We can do bus ministry. We can do Sunday school. We can do choir. We can do special music. We can do this without God's power. Well, you know, in a way we can, but we can't do it effectively without God's power. And so there comes a time where we have to back up to square one. Remember what Jesus and I've asked you to turn to Acts 1, but go back to Luke just for a moment. Luke chapter 24. I was reading this week and I ran across these scriptures and God just pricked me in my heart and said, there it is right here. Here it is, brethren. Luke 24, Jesus speaking before his ascension, speaking to the disciples. And he said in verse number 47, he said, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached. I'm in Luke 24, verse number 47, in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And we're going to hear how he gives this in a moment unto the disciples right before his ascension. Now watch this. And ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Don't try to do this without the power. That's what Jesus' message was. Amen? Amen. Get the gospel out there. Preach repentance. Get it to every nation. Carry it to all the world, but don't try to do it until you get the power. Tarry ye into Jerusalem until ye be endued with power. Don't you go out from here and try to do this on your own. You'll fail. You'll fail. Stay there until the power. And I'm afraid that many need to return back to the prayer for the power. God, you show us. God, you show us what to do. God, you show us how to do it. God, you show us what to give. God, you show us how much to give. God, you show me if you want me to go. God, you show me where to go. God, you show me. God, show me what you want to do and give me the courage to do it. Amen? The power. The power. Now, in Acts chapter 1, Jesus is in a way reiterating that. He said, okay, now, this is what I want you to do. You shall receive power. It's not a might or a maybe. You're going to receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now watch this. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. And I want you to underline, highlight, circle, put in parentheses, whatever you need to do to make sure that that next four-letter word jumps out at you. Both. Both. Say, preacher, we need to get them saved in Madison. You better believe we do. We need to get them saved in Madison, Green, Culpeper, Orange, and every surrounding town in our area. But while we're doing that, now watch this. He didn't say, once you win your Jerusalem, then move on to Judea, and then Samaria, and then get involved. See, there are those that have this mindset. Why would we want to send people to South Africa, China, Cyprus, Argentina? Why would we want to send more out into the world around us when there are yet those that live beside us that have not yet been saved? Well, here's your answer right here. Here's your answer right here. Be busy in Jerusalem. That's where it starts. That's where it begins, but that's not where it ends. While you are busy in Jerusalem, also, both, be busy trying to reach Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part. You see that, brethren? It's important. So in Acts chapter number 2, we find where the disciples started getting busy. Getting busy, reaching their Jerusalem. See, this is our Jerusalem here, brethren. You do realize that. We're in our Jerusalem here. This is our Jerusalem. And our surrounding areas are our Judeas and Samarias. And then we're to go to the uttermost part of the world. And the only way we can do that is with the help of missionaries. And I've told you, we ought to be very, very grateful that God is calling people, and I'll get to that in just a moment, so that we can fulfill the Great Commission. The only way we're going to be able to fulfill the Great Commission is that we partner with those who are willing to answer God's call and go. Amen? Is that right? Come on. That's right, brethren. It's the only way. You say, well, I want to do what the Bible says. Well, then you'll be a part of missions. If you're not a part of missions, you're not a part of the thing that's nearest the heart of God. Get involved and be a part, because you need to receive that blessing. And it's not just all tangible. It's a blessing that there's just some things that money cannot buy. So, chapter 2, look if you would in chapter 2 of the book of Acts. If you look at verse number 5, it says, there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews. And we find, if you'll read that, 3,000 men got saved. Boy, I tell you, they got to work in their Jerusalem. And then as you read on, you find in chapter number 8, if you'll go there, that's where we began in Acts chapter 8, you'll find where there was persecution in the church. And God scattered the church from Jerusalem. And the Bible says that they were scattered abroad in Acts chapter 8. Look there if you would in Acts chapter 8 in verse number 1. They were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. They went out and they began to carry out the gospel into these areas. Were they still in Jerusalem? Well, the Bible says they were, because it says that they were scattered except the apostles. So the apostles were still reaching their Jerusalem, but they were those who were scattered out in Judea and Samaria. They were reaching these areas. And then the Bible says in verse number 4, look at what it says, Acts chapter 8, verse number 4, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Going everywhere, preaching the Bible. You say, did that work, preacher? Does it work when a people get a vision to do it God's way? Well, I think it does. Look, if you would, hold your place here. We'll be coming back to Acts chapter 8. If you'll turn over to Acts chapter 19, there's a statement made that's astounding. Now, I'm not sure the population of Asia at the time of the writing of the book of Acts. I have no way of knowing. You could probably read some guesstimates, but there's no need in getting involved in speculation. What we'll do is just take God at His word and realize that regardless of how many it was at that time, that, well, God had a way of reaching every one of them. Acts chapter 19, look if you would in verse number 10. Now, I'm not going to go back, but Paul had a plan, okay? And you can go back and read this sometime. And Paul put his plan into place, and look, this was the result of it. Verse number 9, but when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil, and they in that way with the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years. Watch this next statement. So that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So everyone in this area heard the word. So the next time the devil tells you, well, you know, that can't be done, it already has. See, everyone in an area can hear the word. You got to have a plan. You got to be endued with power from on high. You got to be willing to get out there and sow some seed. Amen. So, you know, if we're not careful, we'll say, well, preacher, there's no way we're going to reach this big old world we live in. Well, it's kind of like that man who went out on the beach one day and he noticed there was a bunch of starfish washed up on the shore. And people were taking those starfish and they were killing them for personal use or commercial use. And so there was one young fella. The man got up very early the next day and he see a little fella out there, and he was just walking down the beach, calming the beach, and he was picking up starfish and, well, tossing them back in the ocean. And the man trotted and caught up with him. He said, hey, son, what are you doing? He said, people are killing these starfish. And he said, I like starfish. I don't want them to die. He said, so I'm saving their life. I'm throwing them back. And he was throwing them over the current back out into the ocean where they were nurtured and where they could survive. That man kind of chuckled a little bit because he looked down and all along the beach was starfish. And that little fellow reached up and he got one in his hand. He said, oh, he said, do you really think that's going to make a difference? And he went, whoosh. It did with that one. Amen. See, if we're not careful, we'll be like that. We'll look down and we'll see all these people and we'll think, man, how are we ever going to reach all these people? One at a time. One at a time. Because you never know. The next one might reach a million. You never know. Who knows who the next great flaming evangelist that God's going to raise up? I don't know. He may be sitting in our children's program upstairs. I don't know. You don't either. He may be sitting in here tonight. We don't know. But I'm not going to doubt God can do it, are you? We go back to Acts chapter 8 and we see, first of all, the scope. The scope is, well, it's the world, brethren. It's the world. And then I want you to notice the servants. This is the scope of the world, of getting this message out, is the world. It's everybody. I thought about today how that in Acts chapter 16, and you don't have to turn there, we're in chapter 8 now, but you know, we sing that song. We have heard the Macedonian call today, send the light, send the light. You know, the Macedonian call was recorded in Acts chapter 16 where Paul, he saw a man and he was telling him, come on over and help us. Come on over. And I began to think about the words of that song and I was kind of singing it in my mind today. And as I was, I just started envisioning different people around the world calling. Come help us out. You know? You ever hear that call? Come help us out. Come to South Korea, Moscow, Germany, China, Africa. You ever see people? Come help us out. People besides people that look like us. People who don't have a place like this to attend. People who don't know our God. They don't know that God loves them. See, they are taught from an early age that there's a God and He's angry with them. And they have to sacrifice, and some of them are even taught they have to sacrifice their children to their gods. I thought about a man today I read about sometime last week, and it just came back to my mind. There was a teacher over in Moscow who, a middle-aged man for 20 years, he was brought up in an atheistic, communistic Marxism. He taught that garbage. In the schools for 20 years, two decades. And I was reading about how disillusioned those people are after they've been in it. And I've given you this illustration before, and it wasn't in this story I was reading about this gentleman, but it describes his plight in life. When you have your ladder leaned up against the building, and you climb and you climb and you climb and you climb and you climb, and your life gets in the twilight years of your life, and you get to the top of the ladder only to realize you've done all that climbing and all that time has been invested and your ladder is leaned up against the wrong building. See, that's what happens to these people. See, when they get age on them, they realize there's no fulfillment in that. There's no fulfillment in atheism. There's no fulfillment in communism. There's no fulfillment in that self-promoting way of life. I think about these young couples. Can you hear them? Come and help us. In Japan, young couples, and they're from affluent families, and they're married, and they have children, and they think we should be happy. Why aren't we happy? We should have fulfillment in our soul. Why is there no fulfillment in our lives? I'll tell you why. Because there's something missing in one's life when Jesus does not live in your heart. You can have all there is to have, brethren. You can have all that money can buy. Every sports car, every kind of article of clothing, big homes. You can have all that stuff, but if you don't have Jesus, you don't have anything. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Do we even think about that? Do we think how important it is? It's so important that we realize that. And so I pray that we would. Now let's look at something that happened here in Acts chapter 8 that should draw our attention to this. Acts chapter number 8. We find where the disciples were scattered abroad, and we find this man, Philip. Philip was a spirit-filled man. You'll find him named among the seven that was chosen out in Acts chapter number 6. When the church was scattered, you'll find where Philip was one of them, and Philip was preaching the word, and he went, and God chose him, and he was very attentive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Notice what the scripture says here in verse number 26. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Now notice, if you would, the very next verse. And he arose and went. You want God's blessing on your life? That needs to be your response when God tells you to do something. Did you notice what happened there? Everybody notice what happened? God said, do this, and he did it. He didn't say, why? He didn't say, well, you know what? I would like a little further of a sign. I need some more. He just simply, God said, do it, and Philip did it. Philip did it. The Spirit of God spake to Philip, and the Bible says in verse number 27, he arose and went. Philip was in tune. Are you in tune? When God tells you to do something, do you do it? Do I? When God tell, have you gotten that close to where when God says do it, you do it? Now listen, when we quit doing what God says do, we quit hearing what God says do. So it pays to keep doing what God says do. All right? Philip did it. And the Bible says he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, which had the charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem for it to worship. Now this is really sad, okay? Here's a man like so many in our world today. Here's a man who's seeking God. God has spoke to his heart. There's a hunger, and he's looking to fulfill that hunger. And so he went to Jerusalem to worship. He went to Jerusalem because he wanted truth. He wanted God to do something in his life, but he left there about the way he went there. Did you get that? Did you know there's people all around the world, they are seeking God. Listen, there are people that at certain times of years in our Hispanic speaking countries, they're in our Italian countries, they are just entrenched in Catholicism. They will crawl on their knees until there's just blood, flesh peeling off their knees because they're doing penance and they think that that pleases God. They do all of these things. They line up and they stand for hours to go by and to touch the glass case of Mother Mary. They're wanting to worship. They want a relationship with God. They don't know the truth. That's what this man was doing, okay? He didn't know the truth. He went searching for it. And he came back and God said, Philip, I want you to do this. Now, I want you to notice what happened here in verse number 26. The Bible says, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go. And Philip arose and went. All right? He did what God told him to do. And then in verse number 28, the Bible says that this man was returning and was sitting in his chariot, and as he was returning, he read Isaiah the prophet. You've read Isaiah some, haven't you? You know, it's sad, but I have to smile how ignorant, actually not ignorant, just stupid, and that's not a bad word, liberals are. These liberal theologians, now you listen to me. These liberal theologians, I've got a book at home where this liberal theologian says you can't find Jesus in the Old Testament. And I just laugh and think, you're stupid. You're stupid. Just read Acts chapter 8 and you'll find out he's at least in the book of Isaiah. Amen. See, those people are filled with the devil. Filled with the devil. They're ministers of unrighteousness. And these people are, listen, they're not going to heaven and they're doing like the Pharisees. They're trying to block the gate of others from going. Here's a man that went seeking. And he was coming back and God said, Philip, I want you to go. Look, if you would, in verse number 29. When Philip obeyed the first command. Have you obeyed the first command? See, some of you are waiting for God to give you further instructions. We're not going to get further instructions until we've obeyed the ones we already have been given. Amen. After Philip went, listen, after the Bible says in verse number 26, when he went where God told him to go, then, now he's ready for the next move. He's obeyed the light that God has given him. He's obeyed the word that God gave him. Now, God's going to speak to him again. Then, the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And I want you to watch again Philip's response in verse number 30. And Philip ran thither. Man, I tell you, I like this guy. Philip wanted to do God's will. You know, a lot of times we have this thing, well, if I just knew God's will. I don't think it's a matter of not knowing God's will. I think it's a matter of wanting to do God's will that's really hindering us. You see, I think God has already shown His will to many, and they're just not willing to carry it out. And so instead of saying, well, if I just knew what God wanted me to do, God's already showed many what to do. But you're waiting on new marching orders. You're not going to get those. You're not going to get further marching orders, nor am I, until we obey the ones we've already been given. And so if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves stumbling over the same old campfires. Listen to me now. I'm trying to help you. And so when it comes to this thing of getting a vision for worldwide missions, and you think, well, I'm going to let somebody else do that. No, you do that. You're saved. You get involved in it. Amen. You do what God told you to do. We're going to see that in just a moment, what your part is, okay? So God told Philip, Philip, go. And he arose and went. Now, Philip, go join yourself. And the Bible says that he did. He ran thither. And as he got to him, he heard as he read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Amen. Preacher, why do we want to send people to South Africa and Argentina and Cyprus and China and Mexico and Greece? Preacher, why do we want to send people there? For this reason right here, to preach unto them Jesus. You see, some of them have a religion, but they've never heard about the Savior. Some of them have a religious background. Some of them maybe even have a church they go to, but they've never heard a clear presentation that Jesus Christ is God. He's Emmanuel. He has come as God with us to pay the sin debt that we might have a relationship with the God of heaven. They've never heard that. See, we have. We're blessed. You know, when I was growing up, though I never attended church growing up, maybe I could count on this hand, there were churches within a 5-mile radius where any given Sunday or Wednesday, I could have walked to those churches and heard a man open up the Bible and preach the Word of God. And probably most of you could have too, as you were growing up. Whether you did or not, well, that was your choice. I chose not to. But at least I had the choice. Don't you think everyone deserves that choice? I do. I do. I think everyone should have that choice. I think everyone should hear. So what is missions? Here it is. Look at it. Would you underline a few words as we bring this to a close? Look, if you would, in verse number 27. Do you see those two words, amen? Highlight that. Amen. A man of Ethiopia. Could be a man of China. A man of Taiwan. A man of Japan. A man of Africa. A man of Indonesia. A man of Nicaragua. Could be any man from anywhere. Amen. And then if you would go down and look, if you would, at verse number 31. A man said, how can I accept some man? Every man needs some man. Some man. You see that in verse number 31? Highlight that. That's where you and I come in. But if it's just a man and some man, it's never going to make a difference. Notice what the scripture says in verse number 34, where he said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? That some other man is Jesus. The prophet was not speaking of himself. He was speaking of some other man. He was speaking of Jesus, because from that scripture, the Bible says, Philip opened his mouth and began at that scripture and preached unto him Jesus. See, that in a nutshell is missions. It's a man being told by some man about some other man. That's missions. That's what God wants you and I to get involved in. That's what we're already involved in, many of us, and I pray to God that it would be all of us. I pray to God we would open our heart and say, God, I'll do whatever you ask me to do in this matter of missions. Now, I want to close with this. Take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Exodus. Sometimes we are guilty of saying, well, preacher, I can't go. And you know what? If God hasn't called you to go, you shouldn't go. Not to a foreign field. Now, you should go and win souls wherever you are. You win souls. But there's something for all of us to do. Here is a very familiar passage of Scripture. And I want you to notice, in a sense, I see missions here. The children of Israel have gone to war with the Amalekites. And the Bible says, if you'll look in verse number 10 of Exodus 17, Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hands, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. So you there? You see what's happening? Joshua was in the battle. Now, Moses wasn't in the battle. Moses was on the hill and he held up his hand. And the Bible says when he held up his hand that Israel prevailed. But when he let down his hand, that the enemy prevailed. So you find where the scripture says in verse number 12, but Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Ur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in the book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, and I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, which means the Lord is my banner. Now, that's not in the scripture, but if you'll look that up, that's what that means. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Now, what happened here? Well, you got Joshua on the front line of the battle. He's right there. He's like your missionary going out, and he's right there. He's on the field, and he's getting the word out. He is defeating the enemy. He's speaking for God. Then you got Moses. What did Moses do? He prayed. You know what the Bible says he did? He built an altar and he prayed. And then you got Aaron and Ur who are holding up his hands. They're getting involved. See, everybody can do something is what I'm trying to show with this example here. You say, well, preacher, I can't go. Well, you know, maybe you can't. Only you and God know about that. But you can pray. Amen? Everybody can pray. You say, well, preacher, I don't know that I'm the one to pray. I get distracted. Well, everybody can pray. But maybe God wants you to be more, he wants you to pray, but he wants you to be more of one to hold the hands up of those who do. He wants you to get involved in some way. See, everybody can do something. And I pray to God that you wouldn't forget that. Okay? Everyone can do something. My question to you is not, are you going to do something? You should have already answered that question. That question should be answered in every Christian's heart. I'm going to do something when it comes to missions. The question should be, what would God have me to do? And only you and God can answer that. Okay, that's between you and God. God, what do you want me to do in this matter of missions? What do you want me to do? That others may have Jesus preached to them. I don't think I talked to one individual here tonight, not one, that doesn't believe. You know, everybody deserves to hear the gospel presentation, a clear gospel presentation. I tell you, glad day of my life when I heard a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You remember that day, don't you? When you heard a clear presentation. When God arrested your mind and your heart and you knew Jesus died. Go right here, brother Jonathan. Jesus died for my sin and was buried and rose again from the grave the third day. And you got it. You got it. And it just made all the sense in the world because the Spirit of God opened up your heart and your mind to that truth. Don't you think everyone deserves to have that moment in their life? See, when I got it, then I had an opportunity to choose. Now, I had opportunities to choose before that, just like you did. But it was at times I didn't get it. I said no to the gospel many times when I didn't even get it. I just wanted to get away from those people. Right? You did too. You did too. People gave you the gospel and before you got saved, most of you, and you just said, you didn't get it, you just wanted to get away. But I think everyone deserves the opportunity to hear a clear presentation of the gospel and then choose. Choose. I want to do my part. By the grace of God, I'm going to. I want to do my part. Well, I tell you, if we could just hear them calling. They're calling from all around the world, brethren. They truly are. All around the world, people are calling. Let's partner with these folks. Let's partner with as many as we can. Let's pray for God to call somebody out of this fellowship of believers. Who's it going to be? Who's God going to call out of Fellowship Baptist Church to go and tell another dialect of people? Another people group? Who's God going to call out of this fellowship? Who's it going to be? This is a New Testament church. And I'll never be convinced, never, that as a New Testament church, God's not going to reach down into this New Testament church and call somebody and say, I want you to go. I want you to go. And when he does, we will rejoice with you. We will not be sad for you. We will rejoice with you. You never know. God may call me and Sharon to go. And if we can take our grandchildren, we'll go. No. God knows my heart. I don't make this statement lightly. God calls me, I'm resigning the church and going. I want to be in God's will above everything else, brethren. I want to be in God's will. There's no safer place and there's no greater place to be than in God's perfect will. Would you pray and ask God, what would you have me to do? Let's stand to our feet tonight.
In our prayer room tonight, we had some men to pray, and I believe correctly, that God would make some people uneasy over their soul. That God would make some people that are outside of His will and maybe even outside of His family that are not saved, that He would make them uneasy until they come to a place of repentance and get right with God and turn their life over to Him. Would you join me in praying that God would make us that way as a people over this matter of missions? God, would you make us uneasy until we've realized that there's people all around the world that need to hear the gospel? Don't let us live in the lap of luxury. Don't allow us to live with every need met and all of the things that we enjoy in America while there's people that have never heard the name of Jesus. This ought to bother us. This ought to bother us. And I pray, God, that it would. To the point where we begin to pray, God, would you do something? God, help me to do something. Let's bow our heads.